On radio. More of the good stuff.
Central.com. You know this. It is enough of the music with the guitars. We're back as Black Life. It is a little bit of a rainy day today. How are you doing, Vilmarie?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. We've got a guest in the studio with us today. How are you doing, Gert?
All right, yourself?
I'm very good, thank you. And you're here today because...
Well, we're going to talk about road safety. Mm-hmm.
Being safe on the road in December. Because it's a problem. Well, too many people on the road, and then they do crazy things.
Especially when it rains. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there we go.
Oh, really?
Did you see just today alone? People should just eat pancakes on a day like this.
So what is that people do that's crazy when it rains? Tell me. Because I'm always on the road, and I'm like, but why are we driving so much slower just because of a little bit of rain? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, you need to slow down.
You need to slow down, but like driving at 20 on the highway is not safe.
No, they get brain fade.
I think it's... They don't know how to deal with their vehicles on wet roads.
Mm-hmm.
Go for training.
Exactly.
You need to slow down, but there is a too slow, right? That is actually unsafe, especially if you're in the wrong lane.
You know, the speed limit for too slow is 50.
It's 60 on the highway.
No, for 50, that's the slowest you can go.
On the highway? You can go 50 k's an hour?
Yeah, but it has to be on the left-hand side.
Oh, I thought it was 60.
On the very far left. You know what? Just to comment on that, because this is the perception people have when it rains. Suddenly, you got to go 50. Mm. You don't have to. The key thing is to increase the following distance.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. Just increase that. You have time to stop if need be, and don't go into panic mode if something goes wrong.
Yes.
And slam on the brakes.
And also, I mean, the important thing is make sure your tires are always actually like
legal.
And not worn out. That will help you actually be able to slow down in dry or wet conditions.
Yeah, there's a reason that they don't drive with slicks on the road.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially when it's wet.
Yeah.
But I mean, people need to understand, why do you need to have tread on your tires? It needs to push the water out somewhere. So it doesn't stay between the surface and the tire. And it's a very basic logic explanation, but you know, it needs to be there for it to work.
Well, you heard it from Speed Queen herself.
Yes.
Just in case you're wondering, why do I need tread on my tires? Lewis Hamilton won the Grand Prix and he had no tread on slicks. That's right.
Different compound, people. Yeah. The tire warms up. It's in a safe condition environment. It's all...
Everybody on the racetrack is
going
actually
one
a professional
way.
Racer.
Yes.
They're quite predictable in
exactly.
that way.
Exactly. And the conditions are predictable.
Okay.
So that's the main difference. The road's not predictable. Anyone tells me that it is, hasn't been in a...
Yeah.
Some sort of an incident.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Or on the road.
And okay, I think what people don't seem to realize is the area of surface that your tires that's in contact with the road is the size of your palm of your hand.
Yeah.
Wow.
At one time.
Even if you're driving like one of those cars with the fat rims and the fat wheels.
Yeah.
So there's only a certain amount of contact at a certain time, and that's the only grip you have.
Yeah.
You know, use it wisely.
And the more grip you've got, the more, you know, stability you've got on the vehicle, and you can get, and like Vimli said, you need your following distance to make sure that you stop in time.
Okay, well, we're going into the silly season right now. Everyone is saying, "Ki December, boss." And a lot of accidents seem to happen at this time of the year. Gert, what are some of the major causes that you've seen at this time of the year that you think people are not doing right or are doing wrong?
It's going to be very much of a cliche, but speed. It is absolutely speed. Safe following distances.
Okay. What changes with speed at this time of the year?
Impatient. You know, people want to go and leave. You know, they want to go on holiday. They want to get to their destination. And they want to get there as early as possible. And I think what people seem to forget is once you're on leave, you know, you need to calm down, relax. That's why you want to go and leave.
Mm.
And rather get there on the other side safely and enjoy it with your family than being stuck in the
stress mode.
Yeah, exactly, and get into an accident and you're not going to enjoy your leave at all.
Well, I'm also guilty for that. Sorry, T. I mean, I want to get there.
Yeah.
So I don't want to stop.
I'm with you there.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to make this trip too long because I don't want to pay for a hotel overnight.
Then people talk about exactly
and
that
I don't want
to
get tired and be driving instead of a 6-hour journey. Now it's 12 or 10-hour journey.
Whatever.
And I'm really tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't, you want.
But there's a reason you're tired.
Yes, but I mean, look, I'm guilty for this, I know, but we also, you got to understand, people need to understand that am I right, Hart, that you got to take brakes, like resting brakes.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what the times slots are.
What we would suggest is that you plan your route. And it's going to take you an X amount of time to get to a certain point. And the general rule of thumb is that every 2 hours, you need to get off the highway, take a break, 10, 15 minutes, go to the toilet, get a cup of coffee, whatever the case might be.
Even if it's a 5 minute walk, just to
just get some oxygen back into the brain, you know, because you get tired, you get monotonous, you know, the sound of the wheels on the highway actually is hypnotizing, and
so surely then music would be a helpful thing.
Very much so. Very much so.
Listen to your favorite
depends
playlist.
Depends on the kind of music. No classical.
Oh, come on. You know, actually, classical has been proven to help you with concentration. It's something that I listen to when I'm trying to learn my words, for example. If I've got a big script, just a tip. So for all of you who are studying, listen to classical music. Hip-hop's not going to help.
And also, like you say, when we say plan your route, this time of the year, I know it's bad coming back normally when there is roadworks. For example, going to Cape Town is normally the worst for those. Yeah. My word, it's already such a long trip.
Yeah.
Then they have such big sections where they're busy with.
So Eastern Cape is even worse.
Yeah.
If it's not the potholes, it's the roadworks.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's why it's essential to plan your route,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that you are aware of all the roadwork that's going on. And if there's alternative routes that you may take. And subsequently also make sure that you take your breaks in between. Yes, it might take you a little bit longer to get there, but, you know, rather safe than
better
sorry.
Better late than never.
Exactly.
Where can you check those roadworks?
Funny enough, on the SANRAL.
SANRAL.
On the SANRAL website, you'll be able to see what roads are being upgraded, and what roadworks are going.
A lot of people might think, like, especially now that you're discussing going onto the SANRAL website, if I go on the roads that have no tolls, for example, the lesser used roads, there'll probably be less traffic. Yeah. I won't have to pay as much tolls. But what are the pros, if you will, of going on the roads with tolls?
Again, I think it's time.
It's just a shorter.
It's a more direct route. Yeah.
Okay. And usually, you guys are on those routes more than you are.
Yeah,
on
we do run a visibility program where we've got certain places where we stand down and make sure that we are visible with the police, with the traffic officers. So it's like a combined effort.
Yeah, you guys at the moment have some sort of a awareness campaign going?
Correct, yeah. We're running an awareness campaign on the N3, on the N1, and N4, covering basically all the major highways.
What does that entail? You just basically cover it so you guys don't go on holiday. You're there while we driving or having
exactly.
a break. You're sitting there working.
Yeah. Now we've got teams available.
You say that like it's such a negative thing. We are also here most of the time when other people are having a break. But I think, to say that as well, it might be worthwhile if you are taking a break to think about taking a break after everyone else has taken theirs. Like the beaches are so much emptier around mid-Jan.
Yeah,
February.
Yes.
It's out of season, and the cost of getting accommodation
also better.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Flights are cheaper,
but it's too late now. I think everyone's planned their thing.
Everyone's
it
out
is.
There.
Have you noticed? Go to Cape Town, they pull out a different menu. Suddenly, it's more expensive.
I try to avoid the Cape Towns, the Durbans of this world in December. Just
so, where do you go?
I either go to Romania.
Oh, okay, I'm so sorry. Or Mauritius, or...
No, like our Romania.
And then it remains there.
Yeah, that's right. I remain here. Welcome to the party.
Yeah.
I tend to stay in Joburg because it's a great place, actually, around this time of the year.
Like, try to convince yourself of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Look,
you know what?
All,
actually, he's on to something.
Yeah.
Because normally in this time of year, Joburg's empty. Everyone's gone to the coast or to the...
I'm saying? They've gone back home. All those people who are not from here have gone to where they... Well, I'm not going to say where they belong, but where they are from.
Well, I tried to hire a car in Cape Town. There is nothing available to hire.
That was, so I mean,
then we're going to be in queues there, but you know, I'll stay in my little house and just.
You got a holiday home there, right? You're just going to stay at your.
Well, you know what's nice is when you have friends in Cape Town going away, giving you their house. So that's a bonus.
Also, the friends in Cape Town have also decided to leave Cape Town because it's too much for them as well,
right? Exactly, this time of the year.
No, it's too late back to Joburg. They need a bit more excitement. They come to Joburg.
Yeah, they come to Joburg.
Yeah, so I'm going to look after their cats with my other half.
Okay.
And chill.
Yeah, because that's all you're going to be able to do. Like, don't even bother going to a beach. There's no space.
No, I don't think it's like Durban's worse. Cape Town's not like that.
No, Durban is worse, but Cape Town is getting that bad.
Yeah. Well, you can't, we'll see. I'll tell you when I come back.
All right, cool. You won't even have a tan.
But I'll send you photos in the meantime.
It's better just
to make you jealous.
It's just like a teaser, yeah.
Yeah, send us photos, like those Instagram pics of food and yes. stuff. You can even use other people's. You can even use other people's photos. You know that, right? just insert yourself. Okay. Well, anyway, Gert, other tips. I mean, we've spoken about a safe following distance, about speed, about resting. Do you think that a lot of the things that people are doing as well on the roads during the December time is they're leaving either too early in the morning or too late at night just to try and avoid that traffic, which sometimes affects them fatigue-wise?
You know, personally, I like to get onto the road quite early. Okay. To avoid
what's quite early
traffic.
For you
about 4:30
in the morning it's a good time that
better make sure you had some proper rest though it's not like you're leaving straight from the party
but then again you know the night before you know you can't hardly sleep because you're so excited to go but yes essentially you know you need to make sure that you get the necessary rest before your long trip.
Would you agree it helps to have a partner to release you with the driving? I mean that also helps time wise you don't waste too much time and other half can drive too.
Mm.
That's if you trust them. I think that's necessary as well.
Yeah.
But you know, there's something I want to say about kids. And I see so many people, parents do this and it drives me insane, is they don't, the kids are running around literally loose in the back of the car. They're not tied up or whatever you want to call it. What's the right word? Buckled in.
Tie those kids up to the back seat. Yeah,
they're not buckled up. Something happens. And I mean, Khad, you would know better. I mean, it's horrific accidents.
They do take a lot of your attention away though sometimes.
Also, it's
kids,
distracting.
Just like being, are we there yet?
Whatever loose object is in the back of the vehicle and you slam on anchors, whatever the weight of it is, you times it by 10. So if a kid weighs, say, 14 kgs, you know, that's 140 kgs coming from the back to smack you in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Or go through the windscreen.
Or go through the windscreen, exactly. So, you know, people need to take that into consideration. You know, safety of yourself, safety of the people that's in the car with you. So it plays a big role. You know, I can understand, you know, having kids myself, you know, having the kids buckled up for two, three, four hours.
How do you do that? Because I find that that's probably one of the hardest things for, especially, I suppose, maybe first-time parents to, like, actually enforce the rules. But you're the parent, right? You are supposed to enforce the rules. Like,
and you've seen worse scenarios.
We've dealt with both kids that have gone through the windscreen and hit their heads against the dashboards and they got brain damage.
You
know, it's really sad, you know. And the thing about it is it could have been avoided. Mm. You know, again, planning your route, making sure that you stop every 2 hours, you know, and then that gives the kids also time to,
I suppose,
you know,
especially when you have kids.
Exactly.
Yeah, when you have kids, maybe you just need to plan better, right?
Yeah.
And you actually need to just stop. But you do need to be a good parent by hook or by crook, making sure that kid stays in their baby seat or their child seat, or if they're too big for that, just staying in the seat buckled up.
We used to actually train, well, I don't want to say train our kids, you know, it sounds so bad, but we've
you've got to train them.
Manipulate
like
them.
You train a dog.
Well, not manipulate.
You
what's
train
the
your
word?
Body, you train your kids.
But we've conditioned them in such a way that when we get into the car and my wife and myself do not have our safety belts on, they would say, "Please put your safety belt on." Mm. So you know, it comes, like you said, it comes down to the parent to take the authority and say, "This is how it's going to be," you know, and it's there for their own safety.
Bribe them. That's the word I was looking for.
Bribe.
Yes.
That's your parenting tip.
Well, call it incentive. Okay. That's better. Incentivize them.
Yeah.
The problem with that approach is, what are you going to do at 16?
Put the fear of the Lord in them from day one. Make sure that when you say, I'm speaking for the second time. I don't speak on the third. They know. Am I correct, Khair?
What will really. You? Yeah. Are you? Will you give a hiding?
Me? Will I give a hiding? If I have to. Why am I going to spare the rod and spoil the child? What would you rather have? A child
I'm happy to give a hiding.
In prison for the rest of their lives because they never knew how to be behaved?
Or
just
every now and
good.
Again someone got a bit of a smack and now they're just normal human beings. I'm sorry, guys. That's how I think most of us grew up. And
yes,
we're,
I did.
We're generally okay.
My mom broke a wooden spoon on my butt.
Wow. So. Okay.
No, I got the hidings.
Was that before or after you started doing squats?
What do you know about my squats?
I don't know. I mean, like rock hard glutes.
What do you even know about my glutes?
I don't know.
Tamisha, you're giving too much away here.
Breaking wooden spoons on butts. This is like
hectic. Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. Anyway.
Moving
swiftly along. Yeah, I think children need discipline. I think that you have to decide how you're going to do it. But if you're going to be the kind of person who's like, oh, we'll just see, you know, sometimes they can't be reasoned with. Mm. They're too young.
I know.
I mean,
I don't see
that. No, but some kids just have tantrums. Let them have it in the back and don't let them manipulate you. Because I see how many kids do that with their parents. Start screaming and then mom just wants to like get them to quiet down and will do anything for them. I think it's wrong. Let them scream.
Isn't it amazing how the two people with no children are giving
the best advice.
This is how I handle my children.
I have a
lot
of friends with kids and I babysit. Khad, I want to ask you a little bit. If something happens now on the road, for example, let's say basic things like the driver's suddenly has got a sugar crash, whatever you call it. What would you call that?
Going to your sugar diabetes
or something like that. How must they handle it? How must the people with them?
Depending on what the situation is, what I would suggest is that you on your cell phone obviously have goes with the planning. Make sure that you've got a number for a service that you can get in contact with, and then they can send help as soon as possible. You know, looking at the sugar thing, you know, you wouldn't know because you would have to do a few tests to make sure that this person is going into a sugar.
Well, you'll
level
see
problem.
Them veering on the road. I mean, that's the first sign, obviously.
That could be
don't drive then, yes.
That could be a various reasons for that to happen. I mean, I think one of the other reasons that we need to consider is also people being under the influence.
But I know for myself, if you don't eat properly, I tend to feel my sugar. I can feel it with driving. Your concentration's not there. Your eyesight's not there. Am I right? You can't see as clearly. And what about people? How do you know that you are, what's the English word?
Just say Nachtblind. And I'll tell you. You are night blind.
Oh, so that's direct. Okay, donkey.
Anything else?
Yes, I've got other words. I know you're going to rap for us in Afrikaans. I can't wait.
Just wait. Just wait.
So how do you know? Because I tell you, I am convinced people around us, I'm talking now friends or whatever that I've driven with, and I don't do that easy, are night blind. And then they refuse point blank to admit that they are. How would you know if you are?
You would have to go for testing to check your vision capability.
So it's not something that you could like assess.
You would see your vision deteriorating, especially at night. You won't be able to read.
Squinting, serious squinting for lights, I suppose. Eh?
And for the oncoming cars, they would appear to be in your lane. You know, they'll also give you an indication. Okay, listen, maybe I'm not. Your focus is not correct.
Yes.
But they can correct it. You know, there's glasses that you can wear for night visions.
Yeah.
And it does help.
And what happens if someone's now, I mean, the person driving goes into, I mean, I'm giving an extreme scenario, gets a heart attack.
You're just coming up with these extremes. Oh my goodness.
But it happens. And then the people in the car, you know.
Oh my goodness.
How do you deal with that as a passenger?
Yeah. Again, I think, you know, you need to, again, comes down to planning. Whoever's within the family, somebody's going to have to take charge and then take the phone and phone for help. Clearly, you're not going to be able to deal with that situation on your own. And then, you know, if you haven't done CPR, you don't know what the process of CPR is, I would suggest that you get yourself trained up because, you know, that is a life-saving
mechanism. Is there no like CPR tips that you can give us? Are you allowed to give us, you know, over the radio for if someone needs oxygen or they need?
Yeah, you know, again, who carries oxygen with him?
Oh, that's a good point. Can you not carry oxygen with you?
No.
Well, you know,
no, I'm serious.
You know, certain people can if they have been diagnosed with COPD or any chronic lung diseases.
If you carry it. You know the basics of how to carry oxygen around. Yeah. No,
but then again, just putting oxygen onto this patient or this person might not necessarily do the trick. You know, so the life saving skill of CPR is really, really a huge advantage.
And it's not an expensive course or thing to do, is it?
No, not at my, you know, I don't have pricing with me right now, but no, it's not, that's not expensive.
So where can people go to find out?
There's various places that you can go through. You know, all the private medical services do cater for that. ER24 has got their own training facility that teaches CPR.
Should be like a team building thing, don't you think?
Instead of
everyone
like
should know instead of advanced driving.
Or advanced driving. Let's go like blow air into each other's mouths. Sounds like fun. Sign me up. When are we going?
Well, you know what? You're going to say thank you for the the day you need. It's a doll anyway. Yeah. No one said anything about each other.
And then you get that work colleague with the halitosis. Like, oh man, no. Why me?
Let him go after you.
But here's a question that I wanted to ask. What is a number that people can call? An easy number if they're on the road and they have an emergency? Or even at home, by the way.
Well, 084-124. I mean,
what's that?
084-124.
I need to save that too.
Yeah, you do. And then there is a trick that I've heard people do. On your phone, you must have a few numbers that say ICE, right?
Yeah,
in case of emergency. Mm. Do you guys look through that? I mean, like,
but you know, with all the smartphones nowadays, it's fairly difficult to go through because you have to put in your thumbprint or a sequence on the phone. So it won't be that easy with all the new.
This is quite,
technology.
You know, I mean, for the guys out there who, for whatever reason, your wife doesn't have your code to get into your phone. This might be the thing that might save your life
sharing.
Or take your life. We you decide.
There's also a new.
Stop your nonsense and share your PIN.
Imagine you just had an accident, and that's when she opens your phone up, and then it's like,
and she's
going to
leave
God.
You.
Who's this chick? I'm not calling ER24.
No, I'm leaving it right here. Walk away. No, that's bad.
We've also got a new program that we're running that you actually get like a barcode on the windscreen or any place in your car, and the service, whatever service arrives on scene, they have their phones that can read the barcode, and the barcode will give you all the details,
your medical aid details.
Where
do I get this barcode?
It's given to you. You know, it will be printed and given to you.
From where? Do you go to ER or?
Well, you know,
from your medical aid.
No, you can get it from your medical aid. We're running through Discovery, MediHelp. There's quite a few that we're running with.
So phone your. Can they phone the medical aid to find out about the barcode?
They can actually just download it. It's an app that they can download. It's called Be Safe.
Oh, okay. Well, so, there you go.
Well, that's great. Be Safe
that
app.
Helps.
Yes, and then obviously then the barcode, put it on the car. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can get it printed on a sticker.
You can print it out and put it on your car, and then all your medical details. And you can put as many people as you want on there.
Well, that's actually fantastic. People don't know this.
Yeah. I didn't know this.
Yeah. So it's captured, and then so if someone like you would come onto the scene, then you know all the necessary medical history.
It goes from your blood type to any allergies that you might have. Actually, the obese also has a little armband that you can wear that does exactly the same thing.
Oh, well, there you go.
I mean, I was saying earlier, it's not something you want to just bring up, but we're talking about extreme scenarios. A friend of ours has got asthma, and got an asthma attack, tried to use his little pump, and nothing worked.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's
a nightmare.
The repercussion of that is huge because he's still in an ICU. He's still being sedated and basically in a coma. because of that. So now, I mean, these are things, firstly, would you agree, people obviously have to remember to take this with and all the necessary stuff on holiday if you are an asthma.
Especially, you know, we found it numerous occasions that people forget their heart medication, their asthma medication. They forget it at home and they think, oh, well, I'll get it when I get back home.
Or on the other side, and then what? You know, if someone doesn't have it, then...
Yes, exactly. So, you really need to make sure that you take your medication with.
Especially if it's something that could be fatal to you. Yes.
Take all your medication with you in the car.
Yeah, extra if you have to. Goodness.
Or on the plane. What if you're on,
but in your suitcase, it's fine. They won't check it. Just not hand luggage.
Yeah.
No, they will. I mean, hand luggage is fine up to a certain amount. I don't think
you can take pills on hand luggage, can you?
You can.
I don't know
if that's allowed because we're talking drugs here. I mean, then they have to.
Yeah.
You know what?
As long as customs will go through it, and if you've got a certificate or something. But if you've got more than the allowed amount, they will actually confiscate it.
Yeah.
Okay. But I know that if you have a doctor's letter that justifies what the medication is, then it should be fine. Mm. So people don't go on the plane with your necessities, and then they end up throwing it away like they threw away my very expensive shampoo. Once.
Was it in a bottle?
You know what? Women's shampoo? Yes. It's an oversized bottle and it was full. It was an accident.
Where were you
going? I can't remember.
You were not going to Cape Town because, clearly not.
I can't remember, but it was in my hand luggage and they said, sorry, no, and threw it away. I was very upset. Our stuff is not cheap, by the way.
Okay.
Our shampoo.
Yeah, we should add that, in this whole safety message. Yes. Women's stuff is not cheap. Okay.
You're going to consider that important when your wife's hair goes all.
Well, just get it on the ice. Pack it in your suitcase, woman. Damn it.
Take extra stuff, ladies.
But here's the other thing, right? A lot of people go on holiday and speaking of medication, they go on holiday to foreign countries where the medication is called something else, or it actually is something else. Like Dispirin is not Dispirin overseas, right?
Yeah, Dispirin, throughout the world, Dispirin will be known as aspirin.
Aspirin.
Yeah, so...
Paracetamol.
Yeah.
Is like
so
Panado.
You just look at the generic and you'll familiarize yourself with what your medication, the generic is, and then you would be able to find it.
Yeah, because this is obviously, medication's a problem going overseas, because there they check everything.
Yeah.
Sniffing dogs, the whole works.
Oh my goodness, you're scaring me now.
So there you got to have your medic. But you're staying Romano, or what was it? So you're okay.
Romania.
Oh,
I'm going to Romania. I'm going to Romania.
You're
going to
remain right.
I don't check those things here in Romania.
I want to, from my side, Tad, would you agree? I don't know if what you guys have found maybe have contributed to accidents just based on, let's say, the equipment. What a lot of people don't do with their cars and that when they travel.
Check.
Is go and check. Take your car in. I know.
Tire pressure.
Exactly. You know what? Groupon's got so many specials on just balancing and alignment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Take it. Go do it. It's $300 at the most. You know that your car, they check for punctures, or they check for alignment. They check for
brakes.
Tread.
Very important
brakes.
As well. Most people don't check their brakes.
Yeah.
Most people don't service their cars. Come on, guys. Go out there, service. If you're going to take your car on a long distance trip, and I'd say a long distance trip is anything post
100 Ks is already.
Yeah, post yeah, 1 hour on now. The road. Just take it in. If you haven't taken it in recently, that
absolutely.
Is.
Your tread's got to be right. Your pressures. People don't. People just to say that it doesn't help you drive 10 or 20 kilometers and only then check your tire pressure. You got to check it straight away while it's cold.
So the first
changes.
Thing, right?
Yes,
does
it changes.
Help to do it the night before?
Yes. Well, just consider if it's obviously it's summer now, so it's okay. Night or morning is fine. It's pretty similar to the day. It's only when you start driving, your tire warms up, your tire pressure changes. It inflates the tire. It tells you that it's 2.5. Meantime, it's 2.1.
So what do you recommend? Let's say I'm going on holiday. I'm leaving 4 o'clock in the morning. As soon as the closest garage to my home.
As quickly as you can, check, fill up, do all those things. But the most important thing is tire pressure, because that affects how the handling, it affects how the tire handles when you brake in an emergency situation.
Especially if you've got a boot full of luggage.
Exactly.
Okay.
All of that.
All right.
So it doesn't help to make it too flat. It can rather be a little bit too hard than too flat.
Okay, well, we're going to go for a short musical break. When we come back, we're going to be giving away 20 Big Mac meals. Don't go anywhere.
There's not a lot that you've been saying, whoa, but I can tell from your body language. Okay, let's talk about it.
Howdy.
If it's about it.
Howdy.
Let's talk about it.
Howdy.
Can we talk about it?
But you ain't gotta say too much. Ain't gotta say too much. I can read your body language. Ain't gotta say too much. I can read your body language.
You ain't gotta say too much. Hate when you say that I play too much. When I get too close, I'ma touch that subject. I can read your body. Enough said. Quit all that yapping. Need less talk and a little more action. Yeah. Nah, girl, keep it G. Know you speak a little freak. I can hear it in your accent. Said, tell me, can you understand my language? If you try and ride, just stay in my lane. There's no other way to explain it in layman. Who you came with?
It's not a lot that you've been saying. Whoa. But I can tell from your body language. Okay, let's talk about it.
Howdy.
If it's about it.
Howdy.
Let's talk about it.
Howdy.
You can talk about it.
But you ain't gotta say too much. Ain't gotta say too much. I can read your body language. Ain't gotta say too much. I can read your body language.
It ain't hard to tell. You don't wanna take it too far, then well, you better stop flirting and stop twerking. So perfect, cause it's working. That worth all the worship. You've been in your bag like Birkin. Never had it like this before me. You ain't no girl, better read up on me. You try and get, gotta read up on me. Being stuck up, gon' leave you lonely for the night. We should leave before the lights on, girl, I'm too on.
It's not a lie that you've been saying.
Body Language, Kid Ink featuring Usher. Was it the other way around? Usher featuring Kid Ink. Body Language, baby. Speaking of body language and all things nice, who have you got on the phone? We've got Mom Pierre. How are you doing, Mom Pierre?
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. And yourself?
I'm ecstatic. I'm so excited. There's so much going on, so much activity, so much vibe. Right here at Clearwater Mall. We just opened the McDonald's, the first one in the mall.
The first one at Clearwater. It's about time, don't you think?
That's what the customers are saying. We had about 1,000 customers over the last 2 weeks saying, when are you opening exactly?
Wow. Okay, well, we've got Bill Marie in the studio with us, and Gert, we're going to be asking a few questions. So we're giving away a couple of Big Mac meals for the Clearwater Mall McDonald's. Am I correct?
Yes, that's right.
All right. So our callers or our listeners, all they have to do is either hit us up on our WeChat or hit us up on Twitter. You can either hit me up, that's at Dimisha Masha, or at SA Speed Queen, and we will give you those codes so that you can go through to the Clearwater Mall and get yourself some Big Mac meals. Medium meals, of course. We're not trying to make people...
What's in the meal?
What's in the meal?
Yeah,
what's in the meal?
What is a Big Mac meal?
What is a
Big... I don't know.
She doesn't know.
I don't know. Sorry.
Well, let me come in there. A Big Mac meal, obviously, we have our 10-to-1 meat, which is just a little bit different from the quarter pounder meat. It's very delicious. There's two of those. We have some pickles in there. We have some lettuce. Our Big Mac sauce has done really well. And it's actually a bun, and it's got a little bun in between. It's very different from any other burger out there, I'm sure, visually and otherwise. It tastes delicious. Those who've had one are hooked for life. And that meal is going to be the burger itself, some chips or fries, as we call them at McDonald's, but yeah, it's one and the same. And we'll also offer a drink to go with that. So it's a full meal after that. I'm not sure if you need anything else.
Okay.
Because honestly, a lot of people enjoy it, and that's what we're offering for those customers that do call through. We're so excited, and we can't wait.
Have you guys got a drive-thru?
I beg your pardon?
Have you guys got a drive-thru?
I can't hear you, sorry, sir.
Have you got a drive-thru?
Sir,
it's
Timisha.
Mampier, come on, it's Timisha. Have you guys got a drive-thru?
We don't have a drive-thru. It's a mall store. Thank you for that opportunity. It's a mall store. So we're basically in the mall. We're in the food court, right where the action is happening.
Okay.
We're right next to the movies, escalators, ATMs, and next to the kiddies playground.
So how would you recommend people taking a Big Mac meal into the movies? Like, any tricks that you worked
get
on?
Get a big handbag. I've done it.
Oh, you have. I know, yeah.
Well, one thing is quite interesting. A friend of mine said to me the other day, you know what I love about a Big Mac? Because he travels around the country quite a bit, so he goes around our restaurants, and he says, you know, one thing about McDonald's, the systems are so intense and so stringent. I mean, what goes into making that burger, the food quality controls, when they're not right, we discard them. We've got a holding time. If they're not bought in a certain time frame, they actually get discarded. We throw a lot of food away because we're really interested about bringing value to the clients. But what he said to me was so interesting, was what I like about Big Mac is that you could actually be driving somewhere and have it, and you won't actually fill anywhere.
Someone's stealing a Big Mac there.
Yeah.
And the fries are done.
Okay, now tell us, Mampia, you just opened your store. We're going to have you in the studio next week to talk about what it takes to actually open a McDonald's or a franchise of that nature. How long has the journey been for you before you got to the point from where you started, you had this dream, and now you've finally opened your own store?
Well, you know, I tell you something, you know, food industry, obviously this is, I believe in it. I think a lot of people take time to go out and eat with their families. It's been quite a journey. You know, McDonald's is a 9-month process, hey? It's a little bit different from the other franchises where they train you, you know, for a different shorter time. With 9 months, we have different exams. I had to go through files and files. I felt like I was in school again.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get training, you get trained to make sure that the quality of the food that you're going to be providing when you own your own store and you get that key, you're on your own, hey?
Mm.
You put a huge investment and you need to be able to take care of your inventory.
I know that they're very specific. It's quite nice to see, because, for example, for them to just come here and talk about McDonald's as a brand, they have specific spokespeople as well. I mean, what do you call it? Spokesperson.
Yeah. Spokespeople is good.
Same,
as
yeah. One or two people, as far as I know, at head office that's allowed to even do that for them. And they're the same now when we did the toy run. I don't know if you guys were in the toy run.
Yes.
Yeah.
The head,
correct. The head office did quite a nice thing with Irene McDonald's.
Yes.
Where they gave, I think over 700 bikes went through in an hour through the drive-thru.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and they gave hampers with meals and toys and donated. So it was incredible to see. I mean, I saw some of the footage as well. Well done, you know, and they.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I think it's really good what McDonald's overall is doing. And like you said, not just anyone can open a franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there are some amazing people. Never say never. If you really believe in it and you really think that it's for you and what we call ketchup in your blood, you know, look at it.
That's good.
Look at a McDonald's franchise. They really certainly opened, passion is the number one thing to success. You know, the truth of the matter is nobody actually owns market share. That thing is gone anymore. You know, right now the consumer is the one picking where to eat. What we want to win at McDonald's, what we focus on. If not, we don't want necessarily market share. We don't even own it. Even if we claim to, I don't think we can. Customers we just own the amount of times a customer comes to your restaurant and the spend. So what we're trying to focus on here at points with Clearwater is we're really trying to focus on how we make the experience for the customer memorable. Okay. So they come back again and they bring their family and they really enjoy being with us and enjoying our food. That's really what matters to us.
How did you come about to choose Clearwater as a location for your new McDonald's?
Oh, yay! Woohoo! I love it. We're loving it.
Okay. So what happened there? I mean, you could have chosen anywhere to put your McDonald's, but you chose Clearwater. And of course, they didn't have one. But what were some of the criteria that you thought about in terms of this is where I need to go and put my McDonald's as opposed to another place, somewhere maybe even closer to home? I know that you're in Pretoria, but why did you choose Clearwater?
Well, I did indicate, you have to kind of indicate quite early. I think it's very good to be transparent with your the headquarters or the head franchisor in terms of saying where you want to be, because you have to be honest, because, you know, there's no such thing as going to a restaurant or your own business, any business. You don't go there, you will not see the results. It's a proven fact that where the owner operates or is there more often, the visibility and all of overall morale and the success of the restaurant is far more visible, whether it's sales or otherwise. So, it's really, really important to make sure that you are going to be able to be there. There are some people who like own stores in Cape Town and they're sitting out here in Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. It's a personal choice, but it does limit the time that you can go there. You have to think of family time. You've got to think of your kids. There are these some considerations. If the kids are under 15 age, some parents may not want to run a 24-hour drive through and worry about different things that we offer, like Mac Cafe, which is more the coffee offering and the cakes and whatever, and worry about the other things. Well, my store is just focused on, the storefront. We do offer some muffins and donuts and other things like that, but we don't have another area for that. So, these are the things you have to think about. You have to think long and hard. It's an investment and see what will work for you. But there are many, many brands. And I think if you're honest with the brand upfront, you will get what you want. And it's a communication. They want a passionate person, because who wants to get their brand hurt? And then you want to make money and do well and be affiliated with a brand that supports you.
Okay.
So it's a team effort. And I think if you go in there with that attitude, you will win.
All right. Well, before we say goodbye to you, we just want to know, where are you going to be spending your December holidays?
McDonald's! Water!
All right, thanks very much, my Pierre.
I'm going to live here, camp out here.
All right, well, we'll be coming to see you later on. I'm going to be there from about 3 p.m.
Yeah, that's right.
Why, you want your Big Mac?
Nice one.
You're not allowed to have Tomisho.
Stan, call in so you can join Tomisho here. He's coming.
All right.
I love the ketchup in the blood. Awesome. That's quite a nice saying.
All right. Well, we'll see you later. Thanks very much. And next week, we're hoping to have you on the show, because we want to talk a little bit more about the business of business and how you got into business, and really inspiring other people who might be in a similar situation, who might be even thinking of opening up some sort of franchise, on how to do that.
Wow. Awesome. I'm looking forward to us learning all from each other and inspiring each other.
Awesome
so
stuff.
I'm excited.
All right. Well, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
So, Vilmarie, you yourself are on some sort of course. Are you allowed to talk about that just yet or not really?
With McDonald's?
Mm.
I think I can. They've started small. What we're doing for them is we're helping them with their delivery service.
Okay.
So there is certain sections where they've actually started it. It's just a very small rollout. We're teaching the riders, so that they can be competent safe. And
Let's talk about that for a second, because there are a lot of riders on the road and people on motorbikes. You see them all the time delivering food and that sort of thing.
Mm.
Are a lot of those guys trained at all in terms of riding the motorcycles and knowing how to make sure that they're safe and other road users are safe?
I can tell you, being in the industry, that maybe not even 10% of delivery delivery companies, food stores and those guys actually teach their riders and drivers or send them for training. They don't. They seem to think that, and this is a scary part. I had a client who, they want to create jobs in this environment. They want to make them a delivery rider or driver. It doesn't matter who you are. create a job, which is great in theory, but this person has to be on that motorcycle scooter between 6 and 8 hours a day.
That's a long day.
So the little bit you spend in your car, how many close calls or things do you have where you realize, oh my word,
just
you know?
30-minute trip.
So now exactly. So put that person for those amount of hours on the road without training. What are you thinking? You know what I mean?
It's going to happen sooner or later.
To deliver on time.
Absolutely.
Because quite frankly, if I get my pizza an hour after I've ordered it, I don't want it anymore.
You're already upset, and the poor guy tried his best and he's now there. Now you're screaming at him. You don't even want to pay. And he's despondent, going back, not paying attention. Whatever the case might be, these guys are not getting proper training. So for me to see what McDonald's is doing is phenomenal, because they're spending their own money to teach the riders so they can be safe delivery guys. For them, they're not spending a little bit. You know, they're really investing. They're helping with their learners. They're helping. Obviously, we're helping them physically, practically training, and then from there on, improving on it. Because you can't just put someone on a beginner course and say, "Okay, you're ready to do a job."
Now you can ride.
Now you can ride. I mean, you know, when you put someone in a car to get their license, now you can pass your license because you're on a specific course. That does not mean you are competent.
Okay.
And this is the big difference in doing it as a social thing and as a for a job.
Well, here's the thing, right? A lot of people are going to be riding socially in a festive season, either in groups or on their own. Some people take long distance motorbike trips. A friend of mine recently got himself a nice big fat Harley and he's very excited, but I'm not sure about his competency levels. So what would you suggest to people? I mean, there are a lot of people now who have probably the means to buy these bikes and go out on these trips. What is the one of the first? Give me two tips when you're starting out. And yes, let's say three, because the first one would be make sure that you have a proper license and you have a competency license on top of just being able to ride.
Yes. Well, obviously your license, you know, these days people just do it on their learners, because you can be on the bike for 2 years on a learners, which does not mean by any means you're competent. All you did was wrote a little test. So that's the first thing. Rather get your K53 practical license as well. It does test a little bit of competence as well. And then safety gear. My word. Right. Helmet. Why do you want to buy a 300 rand helmet when you've got a 150, 200,000 rand motorbike, you know, and crash?
I mean,
and
that's the thing. A lot of people, one guy was actually saying to me that, the one thing is that he's just got this motorbike and he doesn't want to ride it with a full helmet because then people won't see and I'm thinking, but if you crash, usually, Where you hit the floor first is on your chin. Am I correct?
Yeah, your head.
Which is why a full helmet is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big thing. Also, Had, you would probably know, hands, gloves. That's a big thing.
I think one thing that people seem to forget is the neck brace.
Yes.
We had an incident not so long ago that one of our riders actually came down. And the neck brace actually, you know,
saved his life.
I want to say saved his life, but didn't definitely made the injuries far less.
Yes, because you don't have the concussion necessary,
exactly.
Or the
That's
breaking
exactly what
of your neck.
He didn't have any concussion. He didn't have any whiplash. It is really, really essential safety gear. Okay.
People think concussion's only hitting your head. It's not. You can actually not even hit your head at all.
And I have a concussion?
And have a concussion.
Like I got hit on the shoulder?
Well, yeah, it depends on the force of your neck pulling back. And
concussion is what exactly?
Heart.
It is
saying that
your brain that is shuffled around in your headspace, in your skull, and it hits either one or the two sides because it goes back and forth.
So the force of that,
your brain's like a jelly.
Just floating around in that skull of yours.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
any
force that's generated to move your brain inside your will cause either some contusion, it's like a blue mark on your arm.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, and that happens in your brain. All right, and that's concussion.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just never going to own a motorbike.
That's
Every time
where,
we
no.
hear these things, come on.
That's where the memory loss and those things come in.
I can't have memory loss.
Look, it's summer's short term, you know, summer's a little more long term.
Here's the thing, right? Then what would you recommend the tips of? What time should you go out riding then? That would generally be the best times for avoiding too many cars and the chance of being in an accident.
Yeah, that's quite valid. You know,
people like to go on breakfast runs.
Yeah, weekends are quite fine for early morning runs. And then by the time you get back, you know, lunchtime, it's also fine. It's the I think the more 10 o'clock, 9, 10, 11, that's the more peak times. And then again, just after lunch, people want to go home again. So early mornings are fine on bikes, you know, afternoons as well, going back. Those kind of times are fine, but also choose your roads, because some roads that people go on the breakfast run is hectic, you know, either the road's bad physically or there's tracks. Tracks is one of the biggest hazards, I find, for bikers.
Okay, explain how, because I think as someone who's going into biking for the first time, they might not understand this.
Well, for one, if you're on a bike and you're doing quite a speed, let's say a speed you shouldn't be doing, but over 100 k's an hour, the moment you go past the truck that's quite slow, depending on the wind, that force is very unpredictable when you go past. When you go past it and then out the other side, and so many people have been in trouble because of that.
The track actually creates a vacuum.
So it can suck you in.
It can suck in. We have had a lot of incidences. So there needs to be a lot of the riders take chances, and then they want to take a gap between the track between the track and the oncoming traffic. Okay, and then in itself just creates a vacuum. And if the wind comes from the side, so you already compensating for the wind. Now you are protected by this track.
Suddenly the wind's gone and suddenly it's there.
You need to overcorrect not to hit the track. And that's when, you know, but then again, it comes with experience.
It does. And then you have the truckers that just don't see you and just, you know, kind of push you off the road. Yeah. So
considering the speeds that the bike goes and considering the speed that the truck goes, I mean, the truck goes on an uphill maybe 60.
It's almost
70.
Going into a solid wall if something had to happen. So there's dangers. You know, people have to pay attention to that.
So avoid any routes with lots of tracks, number one. Number two, avoid routes with potholes. I think that would be.
Yeah, also another thing is trucks, diesel and those things. Mm, oh, that is the worst thing you can have for a biker.
Why is that?
Diesel is like instant. There's nothing you can do.
It's like jelly on the road.
Oh, yeah. Don't pull brakes. Don't try. Just pray.
No.
Really. Pray and try and go straight.
Okay, so basically, you know, stay off
a lot of trucks, especially because most trucks are diesel anyway, but they do a leak.
For sure. And, you know, sometimes people wonder why I don't always ride exactly in the middle of my lane, because that is the area where the trucks spill the diesel and petrol and cars as well. I will go a little bit more I prefer to go more to the left. Which is closer to the line. So if I'm in a situation where I got to quickly get out, I'm not going to go off the road onto the, you know, the grass section of the highway, but I still have a better chance between whatever is on the right lane and on the left lane to go in between. This is technical though, but this is where the more advanced training comes
in. I'm sorry, like, you just made me not want to ever get a bike.
No, you know what?
Actually, you know what? If I ever get a bike, I'm just going to put it on the back of a trailer and go to Kyalami. Just ride it around for a little bit, put it back,
track days.
And then go home.
It is safer, I'll be honest.
If I can make an analysis, when you first started riding driving your vehicle, how nervous were you?
Heck of a nervous.
Okay. It's the same thing.
How nervous were you when you first time in traffic? Hectic traffic.
Yeah, definitely. Very
same
nervous,
thing applies. You know, it comes with it. Now, you know, you are quite confident in yourself and your own driving, and the same thing is going to happen with the bike.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's just exposing yourself to do some decent training, awareness things like this. Don't be – look, if you absolutely frightened of a motorbike, don't do it. Just don't get one. That's silly. Because the risks are there. For sure, you're more exposed. But, you know, you were asking earlier about safety aspects. We were talking about the riding gear, and very important on a bike, also is tire pressures.
Okay.
You know, people don't realize that your tire pressures, if you have a flat tire, you can't turn the bike. That's important. Tire tread's also important. So there's lots you can do, you know.
Okay. Well, here's the thing, right? We got to go right now because we've run out of time. But, Vumarie, if I'm interested in riding and I want to maybe go from beginner to intermediate to more competent, even if I've been riding for a while, just to get more competent, I know that you have a riding school.
Yeah.
How can I get hold of you?
Well, our website is www.sqracing. For speed, Q for queen.
sqracing.co.za.
It's not a racing academy. The name just comes from me, you know, for all the years of racing. But you can go on the website and see all the different courses. And
you guys on Facebook, Speed Queen, SA Speed Queen, is it?
Speed Queen Race, yeah.
Speed Queen Race. Yeah. So make sure sure you do that before you get on that new Harley, because you don't want to mess it up by falling off it. That's just silly.
Don't. And just one quick thing. There's people that underestimate and overestimate themselves. It's always better to underestimate. If you're overconfident, you need to pay attention to that.
Okay, and don't get the biggest bike in the shop as your first one. We got to get out of here. All eyes on me, a.k.a. have a super, super weekend. And remember, you can still hit us up on Twitter, at Timisha Masha, at SA Speed Queen, and make sure that you get one of those 20 Big Mac meals. We're out of here. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks, Kat.